Christian, greetings to each one. I have been blessed by the service, Sunday school hour, and enjoyed the testimonies from Bible school. So in December 18, that's of this past year, just a little over a month ago, I opened up the store as usual. Not too long after the opening time, an older couple who I did not know came in to do a bit of shopping. I later learned that they were Richard and Annie Ondrevik. Mr. Ondrevik picked up a bottle of honey, a bag of pecans, and asked if he could set them on the counter while they looked around. I was behind the counter running the register, and they were out of my sight over on the other side, and I heard this crash, and Miss Annie called out, call 911, my husband just fell. And I thought it sounded like something fell off a high shelf or something, but he fell. And so I called 911. Chief Cutler was there and just a few minutes and started doing what first responders do or paramedics do. But Mr. Richard seemed unresponsive, but they did work on him and wheeled him out and took him to the hospital. And so we, of course, were wondering what the outcome was. But the next day, Mrs. Ondrevik came in, her and her son. And she said when he hit the floor, he was gone. And so we visited a bit. Seemed that she was at peace with the fact that he had passed. She showed her son where he had fallen. He picked up the bottle of honey and bag of pecans and thanked us for our response. And then they left. When we witness a situation like that, many thoughts go through our minds. Without any promptings or questions, Miss Annie said it was the way he would have wanted to go, without suffering, and he was ready to meet his maker. So I looked up his obituary to try and learn more about him, who he was. I learned just a little bit. He was 79. He had one son, and he was retired from the food industry. I don't think there was an address given. It's not in my place to make any judgment on if he was ready to meet his maker or not. I will rest in Miss Annie's testimony. Several things stood out to me in this situation. There was quiet acceptance, ready to meet our Maker. So can we accept what the Lord has in store for us, and are we ready to meet our Maker? Another thing that was a challenge to me when I told this story to a friend, he made the comment, "You may have been the last person he talked to." And I think he and his wife were probably visiting as they shopped. But the fact is, we don't know if our words or our actions are the last that will be shared with a person. The last thing that he hears or receives. So I tried to think back, what were the few words I spoke to Richard? What was my demeanor like in the few minutes that we related? Quite honestly, sometimes I would like to respond in kind instead of kindness, but that's not the way of the Christian. So it was a lesson to me, reminding me to always have a Christ-like response. Daryl spoke on that, I think a few weeks ago, on our responding in love. Going back to the thought, ready to meet our Maker. First, we need to be convinced that we have a Maker. Excuse me. Briefly, who is God? From everlasting to everlasting. So, intermediates. Who was the oldest person recorded in the Bible? Have an answer to that? I'm sure you know it. Just well, it was Methuselah, wasn't it? How old was he? Years. That's a long time. I think the average lifespan today is around 72. So Methuselah lived 13 times longer than the average lifespan of today. But that's not eternal. There was a starting and a stopping place, but that's not how it is with God. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Psalm 147:5, "Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite." One more, Isaiah 57:15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." These verses tell us who God is and also some of his attributes. Isaiah 45:12, "I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded." God has created man. He is our Maker. We have the creation story in Genesis 1. The first day he created light, day and night. Second day, the waters below it, the vapors above the firmament. Third day, he created the land and the sea and plant life. Fourth, sun, moon, and stars. Fifth, marine life and the fowls. Sixth day, he created the land animals. He created man. He blessed man and made him responsible. And then we see that God reviews or views with complete satisfaction, his work of creation. So if you don't believe the creation story, I'm sorry. It's beyond the scope of this message to argue the cause, but believing or not believing does not change the truth of who God is. It does not change the fact of who created man, but believing or not believing does affect your answer to the question, are you ready to meet your Maker? So we think about some Bible characters who were ready to meet their Maker. And you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I had thought about reading a good portion of this chapter, but maybe we won't. But verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel's sacrifice versus Cain's. There were some differences in the two. Abel's offering, I believe he offered in faith. He offered by faith, understanding God's will for a sacrifice. I believe there was a difference in the quality. Abel brought the firstborn, the fattest of his flock, the best. His motivation seems to be selfless. He was focused on pleasing God. His sacrifice represented life for life, foreshadowing Jesus' atonement. Seems as if Cain's was without faith. Seems like Abel understood his need of an offering as a sin offering, while Cain did not. Seems like there was a difference in quality. Cain sacrificed some of the fruits, and I understand that it was not necessarily the first or the best. I guess we really don't know. But he seemed to be self-serving, seemed to be lacking reverence. His focus may have been more on convenience. And was maybe more of a ritual, and it was an empty gesture. Points for us to consider in our own life and experience. Do we understand what our sin cost? We had a debt that we could not pay, but by faith we accept the atonement that was made by Jesus. So is it a no cost? Does it not cost us anything? Though it's a free gift to us, yet we need to give our all in return. As Abel brought the firstborn and the fattest of the flock to sacrifice, we need to give our best to the Lord. We see Abel was focused on pleasing God, while Cain lacked the reverence and focused more on convenience. We live in a self-serving, selfish culture where people have the feeling of entitlement. We feel that we have rights and we don't like when they're infringed upon. And in society, I hear people talking about church attendance, and I'm sort of picking up that it seems like convenience is important to them. They don't want to be inconvenienced by church attendance. But I believe that convenience and comfort should be secondary. We could challenge ourselves, would you be here this morning if we had to walk several hours and then would have to sit on backless benches in the sweltering heat? Would we still be so enthused about coming to hear the gospel? I trust we would, but it is a challenge because we like things pretty comfortable. Well, what does that have to do with being ready to meet our Maker? I think the question is God number one in my life? Here in chapter 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him far beyond his translation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. I believe Brother Sim shared on this not too long ago. Enoch pleased God. He walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Sometimes we might be working on something, and I have a little project I'm working on at the house in the evenings, sort of for pastime, and I think probably Linda hears me grumbling and complaining about the directions not being very clear. Well, seems to me here the direction is pretty straightforward on how to walk with God. To successfully walk with someone, meaning that it's a good experience, we need to be of the same mind. We need to be going in the same direction and at the same speed. So sometimes we need to speed up. Sometimes we may need to slow down. We can walk together, but I believe it works best when there is a leader. He sets a pace. He chooses a direction. He may be open to questions and suggestions, but in the end, to have a successful journey, we cannot have conflict or a vying for leadership positions. We need to have a common interest. In walking with God, we should not lag behind. We should not run ahead. We certainly should not pull in a different direction. As we think of Bible characters, we think of Jonah. He seems to have had a hard time walking with God. Rather, he ran in the opposite direction. Obedience and faith are necessary to walk with God, following God's commandments, trusting His path, His way, even when the destination isn't clear, living by faith rather than by sight. And we see this in this long list of characters here in Hebrews 11, thinking about how their faith propelled them to action. As we look at these, and you can read this chapter maybe sometime today if you have opportunity, and let it challenge you. What examples of faith? Faith to walk with God. We need to have open communication, prayer, reading the Word. Walk together. We need to have the same goal, as I already mentioned. We need to travel by the same rules. We need to have a holy life, a holy walk, if we want to walk with a holy God. Some things that we need to pay attention to. If we want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." These are words that we hope to hear. John 14:15 says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Acts 5:29 says we ought to obey God rather than men. 1 John 2:3-4. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." To be ready to meet our Maker, we need to live in obedience to Him. It was a sad day when Saul said to Samuel, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." But you know the story. He had not obeyed. He had not kept the commandment of the Lord. He had not completely destroyed the Amalekites, like he was told to do. Samuel told him, "Thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." I believe that disobedience always brings tension between God and man. We saw that in the beginning when man sinned. He hid himself We see that tension, and he hid himself. He was not ready to meet his maker. John mentions obedience as an evidence of true discipleship. Wise man sums it up. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Word also tells us, Titus tells us, we should obey magistrates. Titus 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Also on a different level, Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. Submission to constituted authority, whether in domestic, government, or religious affairs, I think it's one of the fundamentals of ideal Christian living. There is a blessedness and a power in the Christian grace of humble submission. And if we're proud, rebellious, we cannot know the blessing that we can receive by being submissive. What does obedience to God include? Those who obey God are submissive to his voice. And as we consider the heroes of faith, the cornerstone of the attribute that they had was hearing and obeying. This was a common attribute that they had, hearing and obeying the voice of God. Jeremiah 7:23, But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. It was this voice that Noah heard when he built the ark, that Abraham heard when he left his home country and started for the land of promise. It was a voice that Moses heard when he accepted the task of leading the people out of bondage, that Elijah heard in 1 Kings 19 when he was brought back into a humble state of submission. To be obedient to God, we need to be obedient to the Son of God. Matthew 17:5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. I believe that's in this disposition that God is speaking to us by his Son, Hebrews 1:1-2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We need to also be obedient to the Spirit of God. Stephen reminded the Pharisees of the condemnation that was coming to them because they resisted the Holy Ghost as their fathers had done. Acts 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. It's the Spirit of God that guides into all truth. John 16:13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. We need to be obedient to the Word of God. It's impossible to separate God from his Word. Power of God being in his Word. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's foolish to think that we can be ready to meet our Maker without being obedient to His Word. And I think maybe I'll read James 1, several verses here. It's not a good place to break in, maybe. So James 1, 22 through 27. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, doer of his work, of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. For if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Obedience to God also includes being submissive to the Church of God. I believe Brother Henry touched on this last Sunday. Church of God is an organization through which this message is brought to a lost world. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Or, I didn't mean to start on that verse. Okay, so we have this these words here in Matthew. It's where the way that the good news of salvation is shared. And then we have the results of obedience. Obedience to God means to travel in the path of righteousness. While disobedience means to travel in the paths of sin. Truth, justice, righteousness, godliness are all found in the path of the obedience to God. Then this is my closing verse here, Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So again, the question is, are we prepared to meet our Maker? May the Lord bless each one.